This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. Students at Keene State University are using a flat aquatic worm to study some rare human diseases. And this research began because of something unexpected that happened in the lab. David Brooks is a reporter for the Concord Monitor and writer at GraniteGeek.org, and he joins us now with the story behind this flatworm research. David, welcome.
Glad to be here.
The research that these students at Keene State University are doing evolved out of something that happened in an intro to biology course back in 2010. Tell us what happened in that course.
Yeah, to the layman at least, that's perhaps the most interesting part of the story is the way it came out. This cutting-edge biomedical research came out of an extremely unlikely place, which is a gen ed course in biology. In other words, a biology course for non-science majors who needed to get some requirements out of the way. And so Dr. Jason Pelletieri, he had to teach the course, and he thought, well, the thing is to get these kids excited about science and see what science actually is. So he thought, well, we'll do some experiments with flatworms or planaria, which are aquatic worms that are, oddly enough, flat, very common in biology research, largely because they regenerate. So if you cut off parts of them, they'll regrow very easily. And so that's been studied quite a lot for how they do it and how it could teach us things about how we can heal ourselves. So they're very common, and they're cheap, and they're easy to take care of. So he said, well, I'll give the kids some planaria, and they can design an experiment for this regeneration and see whether pouring, you know, energy drinks into the water with them affects their regeneration, stuff like that, standard gen ed stuff. And so one group of students wanted to know how light affected it, so they were put a tray of these worms up on the windowsill. Normally, they're kept away from the light because they don't like heat. And they were left there a little bit too long, came back and found them, and instead of being sort of the reddish-brown, I believe, that they normally are, and they'd lost all their color. They were white, which he'd never seen before. And he thought, well, that's really interesting. I wonder what caused that. He didn't know. He had courses to teach. He had his own research to do. He kind of put it aside.
But a student took up the mantle and ran with it, and here we are 6 years later. That student has moved on, but the research sort of continues into how these flatworms can be useful in studying things like skin pigment change, sensitivity to light, facial hair growth.
You're exactly right. Another student came, said, I want to do research. What do you got for me? And the guy said, well, I got this thing. I don't know why it happened. Why don't you take a look at it? And he didn't think it would go anywhere. That's what he told me. He said he thought it would be fun for a while. The student, his name is Bradford Steubenhaus, took it, ran with it, and turned it into a real research and found that the underlying sort of the molecular chemical things that are happening in the flatworms are similar to or the same as things that are happening in human tissue in these particular, these rare diseases that, frankly, to be perfectly honest, I'd never heard of called porphyrias. And so as a result, you can use flatworms as a model, as an animal model as to what's happening for humans. So you can test drugs with flatworms and see whether it alters the pigmentation change. You can do it really easily by just dropping some chemical into the water with the flatworms. You don't have to use mice. You don't have to inject them, and you don't have to keep the mice alive. You don't have to shave them to see whether their skin pigment has changed. So it's a good, cheap, effective animal model that could really lead to some new treatments and understanding of these diseases.
Has this research team come up with any possible new treatments yet?
Not yet. They're still in the process. This is slow stuff. This is, you know, real science research, and particularly in the life sciences, can take a long time. It's very complicated. But they've pulled in easily six figures worth of funding from the federal government because it's that promising. They've got a whole lab with a couple of actually full-time people working there, keeping these flatworms, planaria is a sort of official name, keeping them alive. And they found that they actually do best under red LED lights. So this lab is full of red lights. And I guess at nighttime, looking up at the windows, it's like there's some nightclub up there with all this funky lighting going on, club planaria.
And also interesting to note that so much in science depends on simply keeping an open mind and being aware of mistakes, so-called mistakes, and what they may actually imply.
Exactly. If Jason Pelletieri hadn't been aware that it was unusual for the worms to be blanched, I guess is the term, to turn white, he'd never heard of that before. If he wasn't knowledgeable enough to realize that that was unusual, it wouldn't have sort of stuck with him, and he wouldn't have thought of it when Steubenhaus came along saying, hey, I'm looking for something to work on. So as I said in the column, it's the perfect example of Louis Pasteur's line, which is that fortune favors the prepared mind. You know, dumb luck doesn't really help you unless you're smart enough to know that it's helpful.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who truly believes that fortune favors the geeky mind at GraniteGeek.org.